Hey, man, I'm so happy for all the Lord speaking to us this weekend. And we just look to Him to be the Omega of this conference. He was the Alpha of this conference. He has been so rich throughout the conference. He has been every letter of the alphabet in this conference. And now we look to Him to be the Omega of this conference. So, we will have to stop exactly at noon, okay, because our brothers need to prepare the CDs, the MP3s, so that you can take some with you. So we'll try to redeem our time and release the Lord's burden, okay? before we start, I would like to see among us all the college-age seniors, if you are graduating this year, and maybe this will be your last conference as a student, as a college student. Could you please stand up? We would like to see you, all of you, the dear seniors. Well, I have a verse for you. Keep standing. And this is John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. My sheep, you are the Lord's sheep. He loves you. He gave himself up for you, right? And he gave you a life capacity to hear his voice. You belong to him. He knows you. And then you also have the life capacity to follow him. So the Lord's sheep hear, and the Lord's sheep follow. So I know, you know, in all of you is this uncertainty. What is next? Some of you go and get a job. Others will go to graduate school. Others will go to the training. Whatever way the Lord leads you. I really would like to pray for you. And then I would like to ask for two volunteers, other students, two. I need two to follow also. We need to pray for these dear brothers and sisters, that the Lord will lead them and that they will follow him. Okay, so I'm going to pray, and then I need two volunteers, either brothers or sisters. Just stand up. I would like to see you. Who would like to pray? One right here, two. Okay, right there, two brothers. Amen. Lord Jesus. Lord, thank you for all these dear brothers and sisters. Amen. Thank you, they belong to you. Amen. You pay the price for them. Amen. They are yours, Lord. Amen. We pray that these days they will hear your voice, Amen. Lord, and they will be strengthened to follow you. Amen. Lord, wherever you may go, Amen. They will be today's overcomers, Amen. Following the Lamb wherever he may go. Amen. Bless them, Lord. Amen. Bless them this year. And make them a blessing to your recovery. Amen. A blessing to the church. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Lord, bless them to the uttermost.
Amen.
Lord, they will follow you.
Amen.
They will follow all the way to the end.
Amen.
Lord, guide them.
Lord, amen.
Lord, care for them.
Amen.
Lord, they will follow you.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Lord, we have to live for you.
Yes. Amen. Yes. Amen. 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 Yes. Amen. 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 That's right. Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yes. Amen. That's right. That's right. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes. Amen. That's right. Amen. Yes. Amen. That's why Jesus is Lord. Amen. Okay, thank you very much. May God bless you and lead you. We're so happy for all that the Lord has done in you. Okay, so let's come back to the title of the conference. And how about we read the title together? Okay, the vision and experience of the riches of Christ for the church. Very good. I believe the Lord, by His mercy, has unveiled more and more of the riches of what Christ is in His person. And He wants us to experience these riches, and even He wants for our enjoyment and our experience of these riches to have an issue, and that is the church life. Okay? We always have to remember, this is God's purpose. That's why He gave us such a wonderful, all-inclusive, unsearchably rich Christ, because He wants a produce. He wants an issue. And the more we enjoy these riches, the more we will have among us the reality of the church life, the reality of the body of Christ. Okay, so it is for the church. We see something, we enjoy and experience something, and we have to remember always this is for something, and that something is the church. Okay, the church. Now, Kerry began this series of messages on a normal and proper Christian practice for the building up of the body of Christ. We have to practice. We have to gymnasticize for, it's for something. It's not just for me to be a, you know, a good member or a good Christian, a shining Christian. It is for something. It's for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay, so we will come to message 6. If you turn to your outline. And here, we're going to come to these normal and proper Christian practices from another angle. Okay? We really want your experience of Christ to go to another level. And that has to do very much with the corporate aspect of your experience of Christ. So that's the angle we are going to come from, okay? and I feel that before I begin to touch these points on the outline, I need to bring everything into context. And that is related to the body of Christ. And that's why we sang that hymn. Along with hymn 132 in the hymnal, this is my favorite hymn. I have actually two hymns, 132 and 1225, that are my favorite hymns. I have tried to search for another hymn like this one in the hymnal that we have. And it's hard to find one with these utterances. And the revelation in this hymn is marvelous. Just consider. Lord, to know Thee as the body. Now here, we want to know the Lord not just as the individual Christ, not just as the Redeemer, not just even as the resurrected Christ, not just even as the life-giving Spirit, but we want to know Him as the body. Whoa. And like Neil pointed out, the Lord Jesus really trained the Apostle Paul to know Him as the body. When the Lord appeared to Paul or to Saul on the way to Damascus, that was the ascended Christ. That was the head directly speaking to one of, you know, one of His future members to be. That's Saul, the head. But when Saul asked, "What should I do, Lord? What do you want me to do?" The head said, "Go into the city, and there it shall be told to you what you need to do." Why did the Lord answer this way? Because now the Lord wanted soul to know him as the body. And this is also our experience. Many times, the Lord will answer you directly. You spend time with him, you spend time with him in the Word, and you will get an answer. But especially as you go on in the Christian life and the Lord is leading you to maturity, you will find out something, that he will not answer you sometimes directly. Instead, he will do the same with you as he did with Saul of Tarsus. He will send you to the body because he wants us to know him as the body. Okay? So this is just from the very beginning. This hymn is marvelous. And it says that this is our desperate need today, and we need to see him. Listen to this. Oh, to see thee in thy members. Have you had this experience? Have you seen Christ in the members? This is our desperate need today. The Lord is after a body. He wants us to know him as the body, and he wants us to see him in the members. Now, members, okay, who are these members? Well, these members were sinners, and they are still sinners, right? We don't want to, but because we are in the process of being transformed, we still sin here and there. Even if you try your best not to sin, you know, on the road, like Kerry was telling us, on the road. Actually, when you go back, probably you will sin. We don't want, but that's the fact. So these members are sinners who have been cleansed by the blood, purchased by the blood of the Lamb, but they are untransformed. They are still unrenewed. They are very peculiar. They are not like you. They don't act like you. They don't do things like you. And yet they are members. And by God's sovereign arrangement, we will see, he placed those members next to you. Now you have to sing that hymn, "Oh, to see thee in thy members." Wow. This? Untransformed, unrenewed, peculiar? Yes. God wants us to find him and to see him in the members. If I could ask, you know, there are some of you who live, you know, together. Maybe you're renting an apartment together. I see, you know, Amanda here and Jocelyn there. if we could see how is that corporate living, I don't believe it's always, you know, everything is so smooth, so nice. Because we are not angels. Okay? The church life is not made up of angels. We are clean lepers, enjoying a wonderful Christ, and in the process of being fully transformed. Right? Okay. So, why do I say all this? Because for us to experience a lot of the things that have been spoken so far in the conference, for us to apply all that Christ is, all that he has accomplished, for us to advance and even to enter into the reality of the body life, we have to be definitely, specifically, practically related to a few members of the body of Christ. Okay? And because these members of the body with whom I am related are not yet fully transformed, I need the points that are here in this outline. That's why. Okay? So, the body life is not just, you know, we are just a bunch of, if you have ever taken quantum physics or something like this, you know, we studied there something called the free particle. I mean, the body of Christ is not just a bunch of free particles, you know, floating from here to there with all the degrees of freedom you want. We're just floating around, you know, singing glorious freedom, wonderful freedom. I mean, that is not the body of Christ. I mean, the body of Christ is not, you know, I'm not trying to be funny. I really want to make a point, okay? It's not just a bag made of skin, right? A body. Just a, you have a skin, a bag made of skin, right? With a head. And then you have all these free particles inside, right? That's not the body. I mean, within you is not just a bunch. It's not like a soup of cells. You're there. No, I mean, if that's the case, then this thing is useless. It can do nothing. It cannot function. It cannot exist. Okay? So these cells need to become, right, tissues and organs. This body needs a heart right here, right? And this body has a couple of lungs here, right? And this body has a stomach right here. And this body has a liver right here. And this body has a pancreas right here. A lot of things. Right? All these members, right? All these cells who were individual, they now come together and have formed something more definite, more solid. And these things need to know how to relate to one another so that the body, the physical body, can exist and can function. Right? How do these members, how do they know the way to relate to one another? Right now, you ate your wonderful breakfast, and a lot of organs are working right now. As I'm speaking, your inward organs are working together in such a marvelous coordination so that the body can exist and your body can function, right? Well, sad thing, in themselves, they don't know how to relate to one another. And this is true of us spiritually. In ourselves, we do not know how to relate to one another. But there is one who knows. And that's what happens to all the members in your physical body. You know, somehow they are connected to the head. Right? Every member is connected to the head because the head knows how to relate the members of your body. Apart from the head, we don't know how to relate with one another. And actually, apart from the head, even if I try to get related to you, that relatedness becomes invalid. There is no fellowship directly among the members apart from the head. Every interaction among the members, I'm speaking physically and spiritually, my fellowship with you, if it doesn't go through the head, it's invalid. It's not real fellowship in the eyes of God. It has to pass through the head. That's how the members in the physical body and the spiritual body of Christ, they relate to one another. Now you know why the emphasis so much in the conference about the life practices, the exercise, loving the Lord, calling on His name, reading His word. All this is for us to be attached and even firmly attached to the head so that we may know how to relate to one another, especially in small groups of saints. Okay? When we are connected to the head, you know, the head, once you are connected to the head, I mean, this head is this wonderful Christ is a church-loving Christ. This head loves all the members without discrimination. What about our love, our natural love? You know, it's preferential. We don't love all the brothers and sisters in the same way. We have preferences. According to the natural man, the natural love, we are not like the head. That's why we need to be attached to him, so that we can love all the members with the same love. Take a look in your, open your Bible in Philippians. I'm going to show you, I'm going to convince you in this one point, okay? Go to Philippians chapter 2. A lot of Christians, you know these verses and love these verses. Very good. Okay, if you go to chapter 2, see verses 2 through 4. And see how impossible this is for us. Verse 2 says, make my joy... Okay, how about you read? Brothers, read verse 2. Go ahead. How about sisters? Verse 3. Okay, verse 4, brothers. Now, honestly, consider, can you do this? No way. Like they say here, no way, Jose. No way. No way. Who can do this? You know, in his economy, God only asks us to do what is impossible for the natural man to do. Just like this. Having the same love. Wow, do you love all the brothers and sisters with whom you are related, whom you know, the same way? Join in soul, not just in spirit. Yes, we're one in spirit, but join in soul, thinking the one thing. What about this? Doing nothing by way of selfish ambition. Do you consider others more excellent than yourselves? We're not like that. And then what about regarding the virtues of others? Well, you know, we just like to see our own virtues. Well, how can we do this? Brother Watchman has a very nice chapter in his ministry. And the title of that chapter is The Mind of Christ. And he opens that chapter exactly with these verses. And he says that these verses are, you know, verses 2 through 4 are like a plant with flowers and fragrance, an outward expression. Beautiful. Verses 2 through 4. But, he says, many Christians, you know, forget from where this expression came from. What's the source of this? What is the soil of this plant? What is that soil that is so rich with all the nutrients and fertilizer and everything that the plant needs? That's verse 1. Do you see? You notice verse 1? How about we read it together? If there is therefore any encouragement in Christ, if any consolation of love, if any fellowship of spirit, if any tenderheartedness and compassion, that's the soil. Is there any encouragement in Christ? Yes or no? Is there consolation of love in Christ? Yes. What about fellowship of spirit? Yes. Is there tenderheartedness in Christ? Yes. What about compassion in him? Yes. If that's true, then verses 2 through 4 are just the issue. Again, that's why I'm laboring on the same point. We as members need to be attached to the head. Apart from the head, we can do nothing. Apart from the head, I don't know how to relate to you. Apart from the head, my church life, which maybe at the beginning was a marvelous honeymoon, it becomes a nightmare. Apart from the head, any joining, any marriage eventually is broken. You know that marriage is a declaration of oneness, and divorce is a declaration of that oneness has been broken. Apart from Christ, everything gets broken. Right? So especially, you know, as we are endeavoring to follow the Lord, how to make my church life practical by being related with a few members in the church. You have to have this kind of relationship. Our church life cannot be general. It cannot be like, okay, I'm one with all of you, and I love all of you. And in the spirit, it's true. I'm one with all of you spiritually. And I love you also. But when it comes to the matter of practicing the church life, following the Lord, serving the Lord, I must have a few with whom I am practically and vitally related. Listen to this. If you haven't heard this before, there was a time when a sister asked a very mature brother among us, "Brother, what is the best way for me or for us to get ready for the Lord's second coming?" Wonderful question. How do we get ready for when the Lord comes back? And this was the answer. By being vitally and practically related with the saints. That points to a small group. I cannot be practically related to all the saints in the church in Austin. I mean, in the phone list, we have about 800 or 900. I cannot be. I'm just a creature in time and space. So I have to be related with a few. Okay? So, when that happens, and I'm going to ask Andrew to come here to the front. Andrew, where are you? Andrew, yes, come here. Okay. You see, I know this brother and other brothers here, they enjoy, come on Andrew, a marvelous church life in the way of small group. Is that right, Andrew? You have a small group? Can you name them? Okay, so name them for us.
Okay. Jim and Michelle Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Neil Wolfson.
Okay.
Gabe Gagne.
Yeah.
Richie Platt and Eric Darcy.
Very good. Okay, so it's very definite. Now, do you love all the saints in Austin? Yeah. Are you one with them?
Yes.
But practically?
Practically.
No. You need a few, right? So his church life becomes practical in that small group. Actually, about 80% of your church life needs to be in that small group. It's not the 100%. We still need the big gatherings, the Lord's Day morning, the Lord's table meeting with all the saints. We still need that. We cannot get rid of that, okay? It's like an airplane. We need the two wings. And one wing is that big size, the big meetings, but the other is this 80% of the small group church life, okay? In this small group church life, listen to this, we experience fellowship, intercession, practical help. Have you received practical help?
Absolutely.
Practical help. Okay. And then what? Shepherding. Have you been shepherded?
Absolutely.
Okay. Give us a brief testimony of shepherding in your experience.
Okay.
Whatever time. Go ahead.
Well, the one that first comes to mind is probably the most significant. My mom was sick and she eventually passed away. And so I was dealing with a lot of difficult things. And this small group, even though I had to go back to Boston to take care of my family, we Skyped every week and we stayed in touch. They were praying for me. They were caring for me. And when I came back, even though it was very difficult to transition, this small group remained. They were my base. They were consistent. And the care has continued to bring me to a point where I was pretty dormant and struggling to being able to function and be, you know, a vital member living and practically in the body of Christ. And it's all because of just this little group praying with me, caring for me, feeding me Christ.
Amen. Okay. So what if, don't go, Andrew. What if Andrew, just consider this is a big thing. I can sympathize with him because a few years ago my dad went to be with the Lord. Oh, that's hard. When someone close to you passes away, whoa, that's really hard. Okay. What if he doesn't have a small group? What if he's just floating around in a general church life? Who can he open? Who can he talk about this matter? Who can he pray with? So I know how is human life. All of us here and there get wounded. That's part of human life. But do you have a group of saints with whom you can go? With whom you can open? They can intercede for you. Even they can render some practical help to you. And even you receive some shepherding. You know, the Lord said that he is the shepherd of our souls. But you know, unless we have a definite group of saints that I am livingly and practically related to, that verse, for the most part, remains a doctrine. Because the Lord, as the shepherd of our souls, becomes real through the small group, the vital group of members. Amen. Oh, how we need to see him and find him in his members here below. Amen. Right? So, we all need this. I mean, if you don't have a group of saints with whom you are definitely related, you are missing out a lot of the church life. At least you are missing about an 80% of the body life. Okay, so we like to speak this word so that when you go back, just pray to the Lord. Lord, I need one companion. Lord, you didn't make me to be an isolated member of your body. Lord, give me at least one. How about this kind of prayer? You go back, give it to the Lord, ask him to give you at least one companion. Now, if our church life is general, you don't have any problems with the saints. You don't. You know, if my church life is just coming to this conference, you know, twice a year, and I see you, I go like, praise the Lord, Andrew. Amen. So good to see you, my brother. Hallelujah. So always happy to see you. If that is my church life, I have no problems with Andrew. You know, I give him a slap on the back, and he give me one. We'll see you, brother, next time. We just go back home, and then next conference, praise the Lord, brother. So good to see you. Amen. I always enjoy to see you, brother. That's it? No problems. I have no problems. If your church life is Sunday to Sunday, I tell you, you don't have any problems with the saints. But, you know, I'm going to draw this. And that's why I call also Andrew, because he knows this. If your church life, and I drew it last year, but I'm going to do it again. This is us. This is you. This is a view from above. We're looking to you from above. This is your head. And on top of your head, each one of us, because we're still in the flesh, natural life, self, preferences, opinions, we have a big 2x4. And every time we move our head, these things also spin around, you know? They just move, right? If my church life is Sunday to Sunday, conference to conference, it's just like that. We can just move all we want. We don't hurt anyone. You don't touch me. I don't touch you, right? I have my fly zone. I don't invade you. You don't invade me. I'm a good neighbor. I'm a good citizen. You stay there. I'm stay here. No problems. But, okay, when the Lord brings these together into a small group, okay, it is Richie, right? You said Richie? Mm-hmm. Okay, so Richie is here, and Andrew is here, And who else?
Eric
is here. And?
Gabe
is here. And?
Jim and Michelle.
Whoa, look at all these. And they all have these big 2x4s, okay? So what happens, Andrew?
A lot of exposure.
Yeah.
Oh, well, we have a lot of conflict. And we, at least, especially the ones we're closer to, I live with Eric, so we butt heads all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, so, you know, that's why, thank you, Andrew. Thank you. I mean, we talk about Christ being rich, you know, as God, as the flesh, you know, in all his process, in his death and resurrection. We spoke to you about the compound spirit. You know what forces you to go for those riches? This thing. If you remain general in your church life, no much need of the death of Christ. No much need. But when you get, you know, we need all these riches to be our experience. Okay? So this is the context. That's the angle we're coming from. Okay? Now, let us go to the outline and see what we can do. Okay, how about we read Romans 10 together? Go. Very good. We need to pursue. And, you know, the brothers have touched here and there the essence of this matter. We need to maintain this kind of relationship with the Lord. This is to cultivate, to take care of our root system. We're just like plants that have been, planted into Christ as the good land, and we're growing. And if you and I want to be healthy, we must have our root system go down and grow. That's the secret for health. As a member of the body of Christ. And that's why Isaiah 37:31 is there. I love this verse. How about all together read this verse? Go. That's the order. This is the order. Roots downward and fruit upward. We have to take care of this matter. And that's why our relationship with Christ has to be personal. No one can replace you in this matter. It has to be you and the Lord. And it has to be intimate, right? That's why Song of Songs, chapter 1, verse 2 is there. Let him kiss me. So intimate. Every day we need to be kissed by the Lord. And we need to kiss the Lord back, okay? And then we need to have a hidden life with the Lord. That's in Matthew 6:6. Go to your private room. When no one is watching you, when you are alone, just practice this hidden life with the Lord. Okay, that's good. But I want to emphasize this aspect of the corporate side. How this affects us, okay, in our 80% of the church life. Well, for that, I would like for you to write down these verses. We're going to take a look on them. Three verses. Ephesians 1:15, Colossians 1:4, and 2 Thessalonians 1:3. Okay? Ephesians 1:15. Colossians 1:4 and 2 Thessalonians 1:3. Okay. How about you open your Bible and take a look on Ephesians 1:15. How about brothers, you take care of that? Sisters, you can take care of Colossians 1:4 And then we will do all together 2 Thessalonians 1:3. So, brothers, Ephesians 1:15, go. Okay, sisters, go. And then all together, 2 Thessalonians 1:3, go. Okay, question. What is common in all these three verses? What is there in these three verses? You have two things in each verse. What is there? Faith, number one, and love. Okay, and faith is towards whom? Toward Christ, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is faith. And this faith is a faith that links us to Christ. It's a linking faith. This faith brings us into an organic union with the head. Okay? So number one. So we have here Christ as the head. Okay? And, you know, Andrew is here. And then this faith brings Andrew into an organic union with the head. Faith in Christ. Faith in the Lord. Right? I'm connected to him. I'm attached to him. I'm holding the head. Right? And then the other thing that is common in these verses is faith, is love to all the saints. So this is the body. So here you have Christ and the church, the head and the body. As long as we are connected to the head through faith, then we have love to all the saints. As we said before, the enjoyment of Christ affects my relationship with the church. Do you want to have a proper relationship with the body? In particular, with the members in your small group? There is no other way. We need to have faith towards the Lord. That's a linking faith. That faith brings me in contact with the source of love. Your faith in Christ and then your love horizontally to all the saints. Vertically, we have faith. And horizontally, we have love. That's a normal, healthy church life. Okay? Okay, now let us move on to point or Roman numeral 11. How about we read it together? Pursuing. How about that? We pursue by following the Lord. We need to follow him. And this comes from a precious section in the Gospel of Matthew. Okay, Matthew chapter 4. how about we read it together? We alternate, okay, brothers and sisters. This section, beginning with verse 12. Brothers, go. Okay, this is chapter 4. Here is a fourth case that Matthew, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wants to show us something. You need to know that Matthew was not written altogether according to historical context, according to chronology, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Matthew wrote his gospel from a doctrinal point of view. He always wants to show us some principles. Okay? This is Matthew. You have to know this so that you appreciate what comes. So this is the fourth case, Matthew chapter 4. What do we have in chapter 1? Okay, let us do a quick review. Here we have chapter 1. Okay. And what do we see in chapter 1? Well, we see the conception and the bringing forth of Christ. That's what we see first. The conception and the bringing forth of Christ. And there you have a couple. You have Mary, right? And you have Joseph. For the bringing forth of Christ, you need these two. You need Mary with the life capacity, with the reality of life. Without Mary, Joseph cannot bring forth Christ. But guess what? Mary also needs Joseph. Joseph provides leading, provides direction. Joseph is for move. Do you notice that the archangel first appeared to Mary, but after that, no longer to Mary, all the time to Joseph, to protect the child from those who wanted to kill him. So, Matthew chapter 1 tells us, this is a basic principle of New Testament service. What do we want to do? What is this service for? It's to bring forth Christ. They brought Christ the first time. We are endeavoring to bring him back the second time. This is the goal of our New Testament service, to bring forth Christ. And for that, we need two. This is the principle of the body. You need Mary and you need Joseph. And these two need to be coordinated. Mary provides life and Joseph provides direction. Move. Leading. This is the body of Christ. Young ones, you have a lot of energy, a lot of capacity. But still, you need the older ones to pray for you, to give you some guidance, right? Based on many of their experiences. So this is beautiful. We need these two to be coordinated so that we can bring forth Christ. Okay, chapter 2, quickly. What do we have in chapter 2? Christ has been prophesied, Genesis 3, the seed of the woman. And from then on, through prophets and Moses and Daniel, you know, speaking about the coming one. Now, in Matthew chapter 1, he's here. What follows is this. We need to find him. That's chapter 2. Christ is here. Now, the Magi from the east, they ask one question. Where is he? Where is he that has been born king of the Jews? Okay, so we need to find Christ. Then in chapter 3, here comes John the Baptist. And he's doing something. He's testifying for Christ. So you have that. Testifying for Christ. And his testimony was about Jesus coming from God. And you know what happened with that testimony? It was rejected by religion. He was rejected by the Jewish religious, and he eventually was martyred by the political circle. That's what happened. So when you go to Matthew 4, verse 12, it says, when the Lord Jesus heard that John was delivered, he withdrew into Galilee. Why did he withdrew? Because he was rejected. John's testimony being rejected means that Christ was rejected. And he went into Galilee of the Gentiles. Yeah, we should say, hallelujah! He didn't go to Jerusalem. He went to Galilee of the Gentiles. Right? He went away from the religious circles, from the political circles, from human culture. He went to the campuses, to the Galilee of the Gentiles. And he found you there. The next verses say, a great light. I still remember my days in college when a great light came and shone. And then the Lord begins to call. Okay? How did the Lord call? Well, number one, he called two by two. If you compare this account with other Gospels, you see that the Lord actually ran into Andrew first, and Andrew called Simon, Peter, his brother. But here, the Holy Spirit has a point. Don't miss this point. The Lord comes to call us so that we may follow him, but he does it in the principle of two by two, not one by one. Right? So it means that we cannot follow Jesus by ourselves. The fourth case, right here in chapter 4, is that of following. Yes, we need to follow Christ, but I cannot do it by myself. I need others. I need my companions. To follow Christ is not an individual matter. That's why I'm telling you, from many ways and many angles, you need a small group of saints with whom you are vitally and practically related. That's a big help for us to follow Christ. Two by two is not an accident. First he called Peter and Andrew. And then he called James and John. Two by two, not one by one. If we want to pursue Christ, like 2 Timothy 2:22, we have to do it with those. When you try to pursue Christ, you will find out that it is impossible to do it by yourself. You need others as your companions to follow after Christ. So this is the principle right here. Now, for what purpose did he call this two groups of twos? Well, remember, Peter and Andrew, they were casting their nets. They were fishing. And James and John were mending their nets. So Jesus calls us for the purpose of following him to do these two kinds of ministries. Number one, a fishing ministry. Number two, a mending ministry. That's how we follow the Lord. We follow him, not by myself. Two by two. I need my companions. And I follow him, number one, to fish. To bring others in. To bring them into God's kingdom. To cast my nets. Right? And then he also calls us so that we can mend our nets. Now, this word in Greek, mend, is a good translation, but it doesn't convey the full meaning of this word to mend. This word is used in Ephesians 4:12, which says, for the perfecting of the saints. Perfecting is the same Greek word. And also is used in Galatians 6:1. You know, if a man is overtaken by an offense, you who are spiritual, restore such a one. Restore. So this word mending really implies fixing, equipping, completing, adding something so that people become buildable. That's how we follow Christ. This is Matthew chapter 4. So we follow Christ simply for these two ministries, a fishing ministry and a mending ministry. We have to bring people into God's kingdom, mainly through the gospel. We preach the gospel, we get people saved, we are fishing. But that's not enough. God has a purpose. He wants to build up his body. Then he needs the second ministry. He needs the mending ministry. Now, you, in your experience about the gospel, about perfecting others, you realize, I cannot do it myself. I need a group. The best place for you to be emboldened to cast the nets on the campuses and fish people into God's kingdom is through your small group. And what about perfecting? The purpose of the small groups, the purpose of the vital groups is, listen to this, gain the increase, finish the perfecting, and complete the building. That's what the small vital groups carry out. These two ministries. Could you believe Matthew? Matthew chapter 4 and the vital groups? The vital groups are there to gain the increase, cast the nets. The vital groups are there to mend people, that is to fix, to equip, to complete, to perfect people so that they become buildable. Marvelous. Have you ever seen Matthew chapter 4 connected with the vital groups? Tremendous. We follow the Lord Jesus to be fishers of men and also to be menders of nets. That's how we follow him. Isn't Matthew marvelous? Two ministries. So when we follow the Lord, either as a fisher or as a mender or as both, then we are participating in the New Testament service. And that takes place in your small group. Through your small group. Be attached. Be attached to the head. And be attached to a few other members of the body. Okay, how about we make a deal? Next time, next conference, if the Lord wills, I will be here and I will ask some of you. Maddie, I will ask, who are the members you are attached to? Right? I will ask, who else? He's not graduating. Sarah, I will ask you. Mary. I will ask you, Mary. Where are your members? Who are you related to? Okay. Well, we need to... I have about 45 seconds. Right there. I'm looking at. I really had a burden to get into this matter of forgiving one another. The church life, your small group, needs to be full of forgiveness. One of the main reasons people leave the church life is because of unforgiven offenses. Don't be a casualty. Learn to forgive. The Lord forgives you to absolve you from your debt. And number two, to empower you to forgive others. Learn to forgive. Your forgiveness annuls the offenses. And you can go on in the church life. Okay? So this is good enough. I will remind you, encourage you, like the brothers, you know, announced, go back and share the wonderful things the Lord has shown to you this weekend.